Well, good morning. I trust that you can hear me. My name is Tim Johnson, and I am the Director of Pastoral Care at the Central Region Office, and I do bring greetings. There's a little bit of echo there, but I'm sure you'll fix it. It's so good to be with you. We were here just some years ago for our regional conference, but I do want to send greetings from Ken Snyder, our regional director, who just happens to be on sabbatical, because I think this is something good for all of our pastors to do. So he actually just left yesterday, and he will be gone for 7 weeks. So guess who gets to be the stand-in? You poor people. No. But seriously, it's good to be with you, and we've really come to love and cherish the connections we have with Groveland Missionary Church, a church that has a long, long history, and God has been faithful to this church, to this community, and we always love being able to come here. I love the drive up on the road from the interstate just to see this beautiful facility, but it's not about the building. It's about who God is and what he's doing here and what he's doing in the community, so we're glad to be here. So as a representative of the Central Region of the Missionary Church, it's my distinct honor to participate in the ordination of Reverend Tim Clausen this morning. But we're going to do something a little bit different. We're actually going to weave the sermon into the ordination. So I will preach for a little while, and then we'll ask Tim and Carrie and the boys to come up for the official ordination. So that's how we're doing it, a little bit different. Initially, I'd like to just talk briefly about the significance of ordination and how it's different from a licensing. In the missionary church, we have a two-tiered process, and I'll talk about that. And then I will also reference and unpack the Apostle Paul's charge to the young Timothy. And as we remember, young Timothy was a pastor, and even in Sunday school this morning, Pastor Marv was referencing Timothy and even the passage that I'll be talking about. I don't know if you knew that or not, but I love the way God works that out. And then after that, we're going to ask Tim and Carrie and Samuel, Aaron, and Caleb to come forward. Apparently, Samuel, Aaron, and Caleb have been warned about this, so it's not going to be a surprise to them that they'll do that. And then after that ordination process, we're going to wrap up with a challenge to each of you as attenders and members here at Groveland Missionary Church, because when we do something like this, it's a wonderful privilege, but it's also a responsibility for us as God's people to cooperate with God's Spirit, with the shepherd, with the leader that God has placed in our midst. So I'll give you an opportunity to do that as well. But just real briefly about why we do ordination and how that's different. According to the Constitution of the Missionary Church, and you can be grateful that I'm not going to read long sections of the Constitution because it's important and right and good, but a little bit dry. So, licensing is our recognition of the calling, giftedness, and preparation of a person for a life of vocational ministry. That's licensing. Ordination is the consecration of a person to ministry upon full proof of calling, giftedness, and preparation as affirmed by the church. So this means that ordination is distinct from licensing, is that it's precipitated not only by the individual's recognition of God's calling in his life for ministry, but also a shared acknowledgement of the church and the region that this is the time for him to move ahead into ordination. And we do have a ceremony. We don't have a ceremony for licensing. It's good and, again, very significant. But we feel like this is an important part for you to see your pastor ordained in your midst. He's already your pastor. This changes none of that. But what it does is tells you that we agree with you, that God has called Tim, and I say Tim and Carrie. They are a unit. You know that. He's called Tim and Carrie for such a time as this. And so I love that we have that opportunity. You know, I don't know if many of you have read or heard of Rick Warren or the pastor out in California. He's written many books on the purpose-driven church, so forth, purpose-driven life. And he talks about a tool of assessment helping us figure out how God has designed us. And it's called the SHAPE, S-H-A-P-E. And that's an acronym for the fact that every last one of us has a shape. And I'm not talking physical shape. We're not going to go there today. But I'm talking about shape, spiritual gifts, heart, abilities, personality, and experiences. Spiritual gifts, heart, abilities, personality, and experiences. So each of those things make us who we are. God has designed all of us. We're all designed by Him for a specific purpose, but we're unique. If you look around the room, we don't all look the same. Not only do we not all look the same, we have different life experiences that have made us who we are. And a lot of those life experiences have been painful and they've been hard. And they've given us a new faith in God's ability to take us through hard times. But we also have unique personalities. Some of us talk a lot. Some of us would rather never speak to another person. Some of us like to have time alone. Some of us love to be in a group all the time, and we're energized by those things. All of those things are part of our personality, but we also have a very unique heart for the world. God's given us a passion, whether it's pro-life or sharing your faith. All of those things are things that we care about as Christians, but all of those are ways that God represents His heart for the world through you and you and you and me and all of us. So it can be said truly that each of our church has a shape. So it's not just your pastor, it's not just you, but your church has a shape. Your church has just a combination of unique gifts represented here. You have a unique personality. You have a unique church culture. You have a wonderful, unique church story. It's one of the oldest churches in the denomination. You know that. This is a beautiful building, but as I said before, this building is not the story. This building houses the story of Groveland Missionary Church. So as I said early, Tim has his own shape. Tim loves God passionately, and he's crazy about Carrie, about Samuel, about Aaron, who's raising his hand in the back, about Caleb. He cares each deeply about them. And his love and appreciation for people is evident, not only in the congregation, but also in the community. And as I've talked to him, he's become more and more intentional about placing himself in the community to have conversations, whether it's down. Now, what is the, what's the restaurant down here?
Woody's.
Yes, I've been there. I've had many of their sandwiches. They're delicious. But, you know, just even going down there and being around people in the community, he definitely has that desire. But as I said, Tim, with his unique shape, has been called to pastor and shepherd Groveland Missionary Church that has its unique shape. And this is another reference that Pastor Marv made during Sunday school. Esther, remember her cousin said, "Who knows that you may have been called to go into the king for such a time as this because your people, the Jews, need you." And we believe that for such a time as this, Tim, with his unique shape, has been called to shepherd and lead Groveland Missionary Church with your unique story and your unique shape. I do want to highlight Paul's charge to Timothy, and you've heard this before, maybe even in the context of an ordination, but it's probably one of the most important reminders of to us of the gravity of the calling of any of us, but especially the graveling of a pastor and a shepherd of a church. Paul says this in 2 Timothy 4. If you want to turn, then you may. 2 Timothy 4, and we'll be reading verses 1, 2, and then skipping to 5. 2 Timothy 4, verses 1, 2, and 5. I'll be reading it from the NIV. "In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season, correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. Keep your head in all situations, endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry." So I want to highlight several things about this passage, and they all begin with the same letter, because some people in this room, especially Marv, had my wife's father, Dr. Wes Garrick, for class, and he literally alliterated everything. You try to say that five times fast, literally alliterated. But he alliterated them not because it was cute or clever, but he, and I tend to agree, that it's easy for us to remember things that begin with the same letter. So I'd like to highlight seven P's from this passage, and it's my challenge and an encouragement to Pastor Tim as well. First of all, Paul says to Timothy, preach the word, be vigilant in teaching and preaching God's word. Stay committed to preaching God's word in such a way that communicates and preserves the integrity and inherent relevance of the scriptures. I don't know if you've ever heard people say, I want to make sure that we make the scriptures relevant. We don't have to make the scriptures relevant. They are. By definition, the word of God couldn't be more relevant. So if you want to stay relevant, you stay grounded in the word of God. And I charge that to you, Pastor Tim. Secondly, be prepared always. Don't be surprised if you're asked to give a reason for the hope that you have in Christ, maybe in the context of this church ministry or outside. So many who are not yet Jesus followers are in your realm of influence. No doubt some of them wonder why you believe what you do, why you even do what you do. As the second part of 1 Peter 3:15 says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. I love it that in Peter we read that we need to do it with gentleness and respect, because I believe in defending the faith. I believe in apologetics. It's a good thing. I do think that sometimes, though, when we're prepared and we've armed ourselves, we have a spiel that we give to people because we want to make sure they understand. Well, guess what? The Holy Spirit cares more that people understand than you do. So if you speak truth, but you do it with gentleness and respect of how they're going to be hearing it. Jeannie and I were missionaries in Japan, and we worked with people who believed in the Buddhist faith. We worked with people who believed in the Shinto faith. We worked with people who would call themselves irreligious. They had no religion. And if we came in unstrong and said that this is what the Word of God says, and if you don't believe this, you're going to perish in hell. Well, all of that is true, but it's not the way to gain a relationship. We loved them. We got to know them. We heard their stories. So you grew up in this denomination or in the Buddhist religion, but yet you're not religious at all. Tell me about that. So you get to learn about them. I would love to tell you about the Word of God and how the heart of God has made himself known to me, and I know that God wants to make his heart known to you. It shows respect. It shows kindness. It shows curiosity. And it shows gentleness. I encourage you to be prepared and do it with gentleness. Thirdly, patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage. Tim, you love God's word. There's no one who has to spend much time with you to know that. And you seek to draw application from it for what people are facing. And that's good. That's what pastors do. But take notes of Paul's inclusion of the words, with great patience. We are to show patience when we rebuke and encourage and challenge and correct people. Here again, Pastor Marv was talking about this in Sunday school, how we have a hard conversation, how we have a crucial conversation about exhortation or rebuke or confrontation. They need to know of our heart for them. And we need to be patient when we're doing that. Very similar in that that we're being prepared to give an answer for the hope that is in us, that same gentleness and respect goes along with the patience that we need to have even when we challenge or rebuke someone. God knows that we struggle with patience sometimes, and yet he is patient with us not being patient. Think about that. God is patient with your impatience. Now, he's not saying it's cool. He's not saying, I don't mind if you're impatient, I get it. No, he's saying, I get it, let me empower you to do what you cannot do in your own strength. So Tim, I know that God wants to do that more and more. And I actually have not seen a lot of impatience in you, but I know you're a human being, so I'm sure you have moments. So fourthly, Keep a peaceful posture. Ministry can be messy, whether it's a Groveland Missionary Church or any context, and the demands of ministry, frankly, can make us crazy sometime. The Apostle Paul spoke from personal experience, and any of us in ministry leadership can attest to the wisdom of this exhortation. Don't worry about working up a peaceful posture. Lean into the Spirit. Allow Him to reflect His peace through you. Because it's not just a COVID thing. It's not just the fact that there's war in the world today. Ministry alone can be very challenging, and if we allow it, we can allow our peace to be ripped from us. But we make the decision to stay living in peace because we're leaning into the Spirit. We're not going to try to work up peace, but we're going to lean into the Spirit to allow us to do that. I'm sure you've heard all the statistics about many pastors. I think at least a third of pastors during COVID have been tempted to leave the ministry. God called them, but it was so hard. They just didn't know what to do. Not just technology, but just all the many other things that they've had to deal with. You've heard that. You've experienced that. But guess what? COVID didn't take God by surprise. The war in Ukraine and Russia did not take God by surprise. It matters. It's very, very sobering. But it's not a deal breaker for us not to have peace. God will still give us that peace. And in many times in the Scriptures, the Bible talks about God's shalom. It's such a beautiful, holistic, full-orbed expression of the word peace. Peace is not just absence of conflict. Peace is also informed by the fact that we trust the God of the universe to do what the God of the universe wants to do. And we just trust in that. In our situations, in the world, whatever, we can trust Him to work that out. So that's the fourth P. And then the fifth one is persevere in hardship. We tend to love the idea of hanging in there during trials, especially when things are going well. So theoretically, the idea of, you know, hanging in there when things are hard, yes, preach it. But if you look at your life, if it's going well, well, of course you like it because you're not dealing with a visceral sense of trials. It's more theoretical. However, you know, and again, I said there's probably a romanticized idea of perseverance during trouble. But wait until you actually are in that moment, and what you've known to be true is more important than ever. However, when you're going through those times, what you know to be true about God making you stronger feels a little bit untrue. I love the fact that God knows that when He created us. So we need to hold on to that when we're not in trials. But when we are in trials, as my father-in-law, Dr. Wes Garrig, used to say, believe in the dark what you know to be true in the light. Believe in the dark what you know to be true in the light. Because it's the idea of if a room is dark and you turn the lights off, it doesn't mean the furniture is not there. It doesn't mean the table is there. The chair is not there. It doesn't mean other people are aren't in the room with you if you can't see them. Turn on the light and it's really clear. But when the lights are off, you have to believe those things are there. Much more importantly and significantly is the fact that God's promises are true. God's heart continues to beat for you when all of that feels untrue. And so as a pastor of this church, you are dealing with people who are trying to persevere in hardship. One of the best things you can do is be honest about the fact that, you know, I'm going through a hard time. We're all going through a hard time together. But I want to point you to the fact that I may be struggling, but I'm going to put my faith in and trust the heart of God. And I want you to do that too. Now, if your people see everything going well for you, things going hard for them, and you're going, well, just keep trusting the Lord. But if they see you going through a rough time and you're trusting the Lord, there's texture to that that is resonating with them. Like, this is a man who trusts in the heart of God. Even though he's going through a hard time, he's still preaching that same thing to me. I love the fact that your and Carrie's life has been a testament to this. And it will continue to be that. So sixth, Preach with your life and your words. As I mentioned earlier, you're both out in the community seeking to demonstrate the heart of Jesus to those who may never have darkened the door of a church. You have incredible opportunities, Tim, and the rest of you as a church, to live out the heart of God to those who have never been to church. And there's a lot of people who have been to church and have been hurt by the church. God loves those people so much. So if God loves those people with their pain and their story, He gets to use you, Tim, Carrie, and the people in this church to preach with your life and your words, to be out there and saying that your story matters. I think sometimes people get the sense that people who are in ministry, so like when I talk to people who are not believers, I don't always say that I'm in ministry. Not that I'm ashamed. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. But sometimes they change their posture. So if I talk to them as another human being, and then later on I'll say, well, I'm a pastor. Oh, well, no wonder you were so kind to me. Well, no, I hope that's not why. But I would hope to think that it's the heart of God in me, and God has been so faithful to me. So if I can preach with my life and words, and so I want to encourage you to do that. As Paul challenges Timothy in his first letter to him, Tim, I exhort you to watch your life and your doctrine closely. So they're going to see you. They're going to be able to trust you. There's a connection between what you say. People are watching you, and they're taking mental notes. This challenge overlaps with the earlier challenge of being prepared in season and out of season. And I encourage you not to see this as a burden or a pressure, but an awesome privilege to show people audiovisual, living colors examples of what it means out to live out the gospel in real time. All of us get to do that. That's not a Pastor Tim thing. It's not a Carrie thing. It's all of us. And He gets to lead you and remind you of what we all get to do. And lastly, perform all the duties of your ministry. So here Paul is inviting Timothy to stay the course, to remain in the game, to continue being faithful, even when the temptation to quit is overwhelming. Now, I don't know if you've felt that way, Tim, but if you're like most pastors I know, you've had moments like that. It's not always a reflection of your people. In fact, oftentimes you go, I have the best people. Why should I feel this way? But there are a lot of things that can cause us to be discouraged and want to quit. So I don't have to ask you whether that's happened to you or not. Like I said, no pastor I know has not gone through a time that he has questioned his calling. There may be some discouragement. There may be unclarity about your effectiveness. But remember these words from Paul to the young Timothy. Again, remember, this is not given by Paul to Timothy in a vacuum. It's an exhortation accompanied by an implicit commitment to be there for the young pastor. Paul's not going, hey, be strong, persevere, keep doing the ministry, see ya. No. He said, guess what? I'm staying close by because I know you're going to have moments where I'm going to need to encourage you. And, Tim, the same goes for you. We are here for you. Groveland Missionary Church, the central region. Now that you've been ordained, you know, there were a few other guys and I, we would meet with you. Now, those official meetings may have stopped, but we don't stop being here for you. You might get tired of us. I would rather you get tired of us and tell us to leave than you not to know where we are. And so we are here. That we includes, as I said, the region, the congregation, your parents, the denomination, other pastors in the region as well. Those of us who know you and love you will continue journeying with you and Carrie as you seek His best for His body of Jesus followers here at Groveland. Before I ask you and Carrie and the boys to come up, I'm going to offer one more thing, and then Jeannie and I are going to sing a song that speaks to this. Psalm 78:72. Don't you love this verse about David? It describes the way he leads. And David shepherded them with integrity of heart. With skillful hands he led them. What a powerful, compelling combination, character and competence. I don't think this church wants just a pastor who's competent. They want a pastor who cares and has character, lives with integrity. And I believe they've experienced that with you. And I know it will continue to be your and Carrie's desire as you serve together. Now, Jeannie and I are going to sing a song that may or may not be familiar to you, but it's called Here I Am, Lord. But in the chorus, it says, Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I have heard your calling in the night. I will go, Lord, if you lead me. I will hold your people in my heart. And as we sing that, we dedicate that to you and Carrie, and then we'll ask you to come up. I, the Lord of sea and sky, I have heard my people cry, all who dwell in dark and sin, my hand will save. I who made the stars of night, I will make their darkness bright. Who will bear my light to them? Whom shall I send? Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I have heard your calling in the night. I will go, Lord, if you lead me. I will hold your people in my heart. I, the Lord of wind and flame, I will tend the poor and lame. I will set a feast for them. My hand will save. Finest bread I will provide, till their hearts be satisfied. I will give my life to them. Whom shall I send? Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I have heard you calling in the night. I will go, Lord, if you lead me. I will hold your people in my heart. I will hold your people in my heart.
This time we'd like to ask both Tim and Carrie and Samuel and Aaron and Caleb if they would come forward. And I don't usually do this on the platform, but we do have a little gift for you. Those flowers, they don't compare with the flowers, I'll tell you that right now. But it's just a little gift to remember this day, and we'll go ahead and put this here for now just to remind you that the region wants to celebrate this day with you as well. So, Tim, I'm going to be asking you some questions. The three of you, wow, they're tall. Last time we were here, they were a lot shorter. It's just kind of overwhelming to me. But I'm going to ask you some questions, Tim. Now, this isn't your wedding, but you get to say, I will, at the end. I'm going to ask you to say, I will, but then we're going to do it a second time, and I'm going to have you and Carrie say, we will, together, if you're okay with that. Okay? So will you, Tim, God, and I'll read all of them, and then I'll ask you to do that at the end. Will you, Tim, God's Spirit empowering you, commit to preaching God's Word plainly and clearly and be prepared to do so in season and out of season, correcting, rebuking, encouraging, and instructing with patience, keeping a level head depending on God's grace and wisdom and patience in all situations, Will you commit to enduring hardship for his kingdom? Doing the work of an evangelist, proclaiming unashamedly the gospel of Christ? Will you commit to discharging faithfully the duties of your role as lead pastor? Will you commit to leading this congregation with skillfulness? Will you commit to shepherding the women, men, girls, and boys of this church with a pure heart full of integrity and honesty? If so, Tim, I ask you first to please respond with, God's Spirit helping me, I will.
God's Spirit helping me, I will.
Amen. And Tim and Carrie, for those that are appropriate, if so, please respond with, God's Spirit helping me, helping us, we will.
With God's Spirit helping us, we will.
Amen. They're going to remain up here, but I want to remind you that there is a charge to you as a congregation. You have the privilege of being led, shepherded, and loved by Reverend Tim Clausen and his wife, Carrie, but you also have the responsibility of praying for them. Remember how Moses needed the support of those God had called him to serve? Consider these words from Exodus 17. The Amalekites came and attacked the Israelites at Rephidim. Moses said to Joshua, "Choose some of our men and go out to fight the Amalekites. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hands." So Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered, and Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of the hill. As long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. When Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. Aaron and Hur held his hands up, one on one side and one on the other, so that his hands remained steady till sunset. So Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword. Each of us, each of you, has the privilege and responsibility of being Tim and Carrie's Aaron and Hur, who held Moses' hands up. So I exhort you as God's people, and I'm going to ask you a list, and at the end, if it's your desire, I'm going to ask you to say together, and I will make sure that you know when to do that, God's Spirit helping us, we will. And after we do that, I'm going to ask if there the elders and others can come up, and then we'll ask maybe a couple of you to pray, and then I will close with prayer. I do believe we're having a hymn after that as well. But I exhort you as God's people under the care of his shepherd to pray for Tim that he would care regularly for his own soul and seek to feed himself on God's word, growing in intimacy with his Father in heaven. I exhort you to pray that Tim would pursue, love, and cherish Carrie, and with her seek to parent well Samuel, Aaron, and Caleb, both in and out of their home, that these boys would not only learn by word, but by example, what it means to be followers of Christ. I exhort you to pray that Tim would grow in his ability to lead people and manage resources well. I exhort you to pray that Tim would remain teachable by and open to others in meaningful community. That he would expand his ability to read, understand, and exegete the culture of Groveland, Illinois. Not only in the church, but by the surrounding community as well, keeping his eyes open for redemptive opportunities for him and for you as a congregation to act as ambassadors of grace and truth of the kingdom of God. The gospel of Jesus Christ is full of grace and truth. Jesus came full of both of those things, and he's inviting you to do that. If that's your desire, I'm encouraging you to stand, if you are able, and respond with, God's Spirit helping us, we will. I'll go ahead and invite you to stand at this point, and if you're willing to say that, please repeat after me. God's Spirit helping us, we will. Amen. I'd like to invite the elders to come forward at this time, and we are going to pray for Tim and Carrie and the family. And Father in heaven, I thank you that we can mark this moment. It's a moment that we remember your calling, your sovereignty, your faithfulness. And you have prepared Tim and Tim and Carrie for this day for a long time. And so in the name of Jesus, we want to say we bless you and we bless and affirm your calling on his life. And again, I'm so grateful that Tim and Carrie are a team. Tim and Carrie are truly a team. They love you. And just even this morning in Sunday school, hearing Carrie's heart for you and hearing for the word, I know that she and Tim work well together in following your heart for this church and this community. So I pray that you will equip them. I pray that Caleb, Aaron, and Samuel would see the joy of working and living for you wholeheartedly, that they would continue to walk in all the light that they have for your glory. Thank you also that you are here and that you've marked this moment for your kingdom, for your glory, and we honor and praise you today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you.